I'm here at Fringe Central, and I'm about to talk to Carol Caffrey, who's the performer in a piece called Music for Dogs, which is a play by Paula Meehan, and I'd love to know a bit more about it. So first, tell us about the play.
The play is written by Paula, as you mentioned, who's Ireland's national poetry professor at the moment, a bit like the Carol Ann Duffy of Ireland. And it was originally a radio play, but works particularly well on stage. It's about a woman nearing the end of her life who's recording a message for her estranged brother and sister, leaving them a fortune in spite of everything they've done to her, and also telling them the dubious means by which she made the fortune. It's a black comedy is probably the nearest thing to describe it. It's very funny in places and also very sad at other moments. It's an intimate piece, and it's really just a woman on a beach telling her story to her brother and sister, who in effect become the audience at the show.
So how did you find the play and then decide to bring it to the Edinburgh Fringe?
I was looking for a one-woman piece that I could work with a friend in Ireland. I live in England, that I'd worked with years ago. I knew Paula from her visits to Alahees in West Cork, which is a tiny village on the Berra Peninsula. She comes every year with other poets to perform poetry readings and do workshops with visiting American students. So there was a personal family connection. It was my brother, late brother, who ran the schoolhouse that she used to come to. And she's a fantastically accessible person, wonderful writer. So when I asked her, could I do this piece, she said, sure, go ahead, give it a lash.
I mean, there's something good about being absolutely not just to put a play on with a script, but to actually be in contact with a writer.
Oh, incredibly. I mean, she's been so supportive, and I could always ring her and ask her and say, look, I'm not quite sure what you're getting at here, and is it all right if we interpret it this way? And she gave us complete freedom, really. It also meant that I was personally connected and very committed to the piece, and it's taken about 5 years, actually, to get here off and on, because I lived away from my original collaborator. The eventual director was in Paris, so it was over Skype and get together when we could. Life intervened in the meantime for us all, and we had to get busy with other projects. But finally, we got it on the road last year, and I'm now touring it.
And I've heard two different views at the Fringe almost all the time, which is when the writer's there, some people say you have to let go of the writer and the writer has to let go of the script, and others say no, you don't.
Well, she's not actually here with me, but she saw the play when it first premiered. I think once the performer takes over the script, they then have to make of it what they will. I think you have to remain true to the spirit of the writer and what their intention was. But as the actor, you bring your dimension to it. And if you're both, I think, honourable about it and committed to it, then it's all the richer for that.
So if somebody asked you, staring at a script, what's good writing? I love asking Irish people this question, you know, from the Irish capital, sorry, the writing capital of the world. What's good writing for you?
Good writing for me is writing that engages me from the word go, that will draw on my emotions and take me on some sort of emotional journey, that will paint pictures for me without being arty-farty about it, but that's very real, that is lyrical when it needs to be and down in your face when it needs to be as well. This script, I think, is particularly beautifully written, which the poet Liz Lockie picked up on the other day, and the reviewers on the Janice Forsyth show. How poetic it is. I think Paula, as a poet, can't stop herself being poetic, even in a prose, even in a play piece. But it's modulated beautifully between all the emotions and between pacing and timing and so on. It's just wonderful, that the journey it takes you on, and good writing will do that, I think.
So we're now on day one in the rehearsal room, and Patricia Kessler, your director, is in front of you. Can you describe those first rehearsals?
They were difficult because Trish wanted me to learn the lines before we got together. I wanted to learn them in the rehearsal process, which is the more standard way of doing it, or used to be when I used to be in the business.
So why did she want that?
It was the way she worked, because she always learns her lines, it seems, before she goes into rehearsal. She's an actor and a director. I've never done that. So we had a bit of resistance between us, and she's my sister-in-law. She's my late brother's wife.
But what's the reason for, say, why you would learn it before compared to why you learn it as
I
you go?
I think to maximise the rehearsal time, not waste any time getting the lines into you, but to maximise the time we had together, which was 4 days in Dublin, 4 days in Paris, and 4 days... Shrewsbury, 4 days in Paris. So we compromised. I learned about half before we first got together, and then we just started working through the script. I hadn't looked at the script from my first reading of it in all the work I did with my original collaborator. That was all on the character and her backstory. But I knew this person inside out before I even looked at the script. And it was an eye-opener then to work on the script with Trish, who just worked almost every word on how it should be delivered and ways I'd never even thought of. So it was two very different stages in the whole process that I did with the two collaborators. And I think the performance and the show itself benefited from that.
Do you think that rehearsing 4 days in different countries brought something to it that you wouldn't have got from, say, 12 days in Dublin?
You know, I think it did. It brought an intensity and a real commitment and a drive to it, because you did have such limited time. It also meant you'd long times in between to be doing all sorts of other work that you might do privately yourself on, say, the character and her past, and working on different exercises to embed that character in you. So, yeah, it's given it a sort of a multi-dimensional flavour in my head to it and to the process itself, and it was certainly a really unusual way of working.
Is it lonely?
Yes. You're there on the stage on your own. When you're touring, you don't have your director with you most of the time. Since the premiere, I've done it on my own. It is actually very lonely, and particularly in Edinburgh, because you're the press person, you're the production person, you're everything, as well as the performer. And before coming up here, I worked on a collaborative process for just 2 weeks with a group of women in Birmingham on a poetry chorus, and the joy of that was actually collaborating with people again and tossing ideas around and improvising and so on. So that was lovely. But the good side about being on your own doing it is you're your own boss, really. And it stands or falls by you and the effort you put into everything, which, you know, has both sides to it.
There seem to be solo performers up here who just do solo all their lives, and others who, they come up here, they do one for a month and they go, my God, the next play has got to be, you know, with three or four people.
I would be probably somewhere in the middle of that. I would like to do something with a cast of other actors, but I do enjoy the solo thing as well. So I would be, in an ideal world, doing both of those within any given year.
Have you had to Edinburghize it at all?
No, I haven't done anything like that. I don't have the time to, and once it's in your head as a sort of performance, you can't change it. What I've had to do is get out there into people's faces, or try to, and flyer them and draw their attention to it. And I've had to write all my own emails, personalise them all to all the media and so on, which is beginning to bear fruit a little bit, I think. But not for particular audiences. I have found, having played it in England and various places, in Scotland, in Fife recently, at the Pitt and Weem Arts Festival, and here, there are certain Irish terms in the script that people don't get, but the context they get, and they might come up to me afterwards and say, what's my waddy? Which she mentions, it's a fruit squash we all grew up on. Or what are the messages? Well, Scottish people know what the messages are, English people don't. So there's little bits of, yes, idiomatic sort of phrases, but for the most part it's pretty universal in its themes and in its appeal to human emotion.
And as a performer, do you think that living in England has modified you as a performer?
Well, I've only really come back into performing for this show over the past few years. When I first came to live in England, I was a full-time mom and then part-time teacher and so on, and I've been developing the past few years back into my own creative side, writing and performing this show. I still think in terms of what's available from when I used to be a professional actor back in Dublin. So this show being 35, 40 minutes, it's really lunchtime. I said, oh, I'll do it as a lunchtime, because we have lunchtime theatre in Dublin. There isn't really much of that in Shrewsbury where I live or round and about. So I'm looking for a companion piece that either I do myself or somebody else does, that we could make a standalone evening out of it, because I think it could go lots of places, but only as a lunchtime or in collaboration with something else.
So has this relit the fire?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. This is it, me now. I mean, the fire was relit when my brother, Peter Caffrey, who was a well-known Irish actor, died, and we did a memorial concert for him with fantastic Irish actors and singers and musicians. I and my old partner, who used to do a comedy duo, did a part of the evening for him, and we enjoyed doing our old sketches so much, oh, let's get back into this, and that's how this project started. And certainly now the kids have grown up and they're independent, and it's a bit like finding my old self. I kind of have to. I've lost, sadly, all my siblings in the past few years. I'm the last one left, so I'm kind of doing it for them as well. Keep going. They would have loved to see that, sadly, I didn't get ready in time, but that keeps me going.
And finally, in a fringe that's just, just full of PR, fringe of you not being big fans of PR, but we're big fans of warm invitations. So as we sit here looking at the flyer for Music for Dogs, which has got a sunset and a dog on a motorbike with a beatbox, we'd like to invite you to issue an invitation to anybody who's wandering around Edinburgh today and why they would wander into Music for Dogs and come and see it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I would warmly invite anybody who loves a good script, a committed performance, a lovely story that's funny and sad at the same time, that will wash over you in a very engaging 40 minutes at the Free Sisters every morning at 10 past 11 until Saturday the 29th. We'd love to see you and tell you Janie's story, and hopefully you will come.
Acclaimed writing from Ireland, and can you believe it? It's free. How can you not accept that invitation? Carol Caffrey, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Paul.